God is so good, isn't he? He's just an awesome God. Well, you know, there was this church. And in this church, they were in Sunday school. And as I look around this church this morning, this is going back, if you can picture this. Let's drop back in time about 50 years. And in this Sunday school class, there was little Winston Kaiser. And there was Dema Crabtree. And let's see who else I can pick on this. There was Sammy Kaiser. There was Beverly Cole. And the teacher asked this question. Jesse Harmon was in there as well. And the teacher asked this question. She said, can I get to heaven if I'm a good person? And you know how children are. And the whole class swelled up with pride, and they yelled, no! And the Sunday school teacher said, can I get to heaven by doing good works? And the whole class swelled up with pride and yelled, no! And the teacher said, well, how am I going to get to heaven? And it was then that little Jesse Harmon piped up from the back of the class and said, you got to be dead! Take God's word this morning, if you will, and turn to the book of Acts, Acts the 17th chapter. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 12 here. And you know, Brother Marty, I told him this when y'all weren't here. But back when we closed out that wonderful sermon series that God had given to us on the meaning of the cross, embracing the cross, I told Brother Marty that he could not have chosen a better song to wrap up that whole sermon series than the song he chose to sing as the invitational on that day. Listening to his song here this morning, I don't think that he could have chosen a better song to sing as we get ready to talk about what we're going to talk about this morning. And so, Marty, I want to say thank you. Thank you for following God's leading in your life. And if you've got your Bible open, please rise as we honor the Lord with a reading of his word from the 17th chapter of Acts. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy in our lives. Father, we thank you that you are a God of all goodness, kindness, love, and compassion. And Lord, this morning we ask you to do what only you can do through the power of your Holy Spirit, to take your word to the hearts of your people. And Lord, we pray for your people this morning that they would have an ear to hear. And Lord, we pray for all gathered here and those who are listening on the live stream. Father, we pray that your word would go all the way down to the heart and that we will profit this day as never before. Oh, Lord, as Marty sang, help us to be holy. Help us to long to walk with you and to love you. And grant us that ability, oh, Father, to love you with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Our text, if you read and as you listen to it, points out one thing that is absolutely true today as it was back then. Family and friends, wherever the word of God is preached, whenever the word of God is spoken, it is always preached to two distinct groups of listeners. We have those two groups present with us here this morning in this sanctuary, and also those two groups are present with us as they're listening to this on the live stream. That first group I'll talk about in just a moment was present in the church at Thessalonica. You see, at Thessalonica, we read the listeners there, we can characterize as transitional listeners of the gospel. But then we also find in this passage of Scripture that we cannot say the same about those who were listening at the church in Berea. Those who listened there we can characterize as transformational listeners. It does not matter when and where the gospel is preached, because no matter where it is being spoken, you can be certain that these two groups of listeners are present. Family and friends, allow me to challenge you with this morning, to stop for just a moment and consider which of these two groups would God place you in. Are you a transitional listener? Are you a transformational listener? And we'll get into the definitions of those here in just a moment. But we have to ask a personal question like this, because God confronts each one of us whenever His Word is preached. We know from Scripture that our Lord has said this, Isaiah 55:11, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And so knowing that God's word never returns void means that God's word's confronting you in your heart this morning, even as I begin to speak. And so I want to ask you to consider why it is that some folks prosper and some folks don't from hearing God's word. Well, we find that here as well in our text this morning. Oh, to be certain, there were some in the church at Thessalonica that did prosper, but our text tells us there were many there, many who were present, who did not prosper. Instead, they argued with the word, and they fought with its messengers. You know, that same thing goes on in every church, doesn't it? Wherever the Word of God is preached, there are some who are going to willingly listen to it and some who are going to argue with it. Perhaps not to the point that we find here in the gospel account with the church at Thessalonica. Yet in every church, there are those who will prosper and those who will not. Have you ever wondered what makes the difference? After all, as we look at our church this morning, all of us are gathered here together. All of us are going to have opportunity to hear the same message together. So how come there will be those here this morning who are going to prosper, and there will be those here this morning who will not prosper from what is being spoken? Here's a question we must all ask ourselves as we look into God's Word here this morning from this text. And that question is, how much do I prosper when the Word is being preached? Am I a transitional hearer? Or am I a transformational hearer? Perhaps it would do us well to pray this little prayer this morning as we begin. Oh God, which one am I? I'm reminded in the scriptures that whenever we ask God direct questions, God always answers those questions. That's why we find David praying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Throughout several of the Psalms, David prays, "Teach me, O Lord. Guide me, O Lord. Show me, O Lord." We see it here in our text this morning. God is more than willing to show us who we are or what we are, and we see it here because Paul and Silas came, and as they came to the church at Thessalonica, look with me again at verse 3, we find that Paul is speaking and he says, "Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." Family and friends, that message is being preached here this morning. It's been sung about here already. That's taking place here. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, sent from heaven above. He went to the cross to take upon Himself the punishment you and I so richly deserve. Without Christ, do you realize there is no such thing as a place called heaven? Without Christ, there is no such thing as a place called church. Without Christ, we are not gathered together here this morning. Without Christ, there is no hope for this world. Aren't you glad for Jesus Christ? He is the hope of our world. But because there is a Christ, and thank God for Him, there is a means and a way for men and women to be saved. And it's not by being a good person. It's not by doing good works. There is one road to heaven and only one. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." There's but one road. Men will tell you today, "Well, you know, it don't matter what you believe. After all, there are many roads to heaven." But there's not, because our Lord declared there's only one way, one road, and no other. Perhaps another question we need to ask ourselves this morning is this: do I truly know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Not have I prayed the prayer to receive Christ? Am I living like Christ? Do I truly know Christ? It's a very important question considering the day and the time in which we're living, because with social media, we can claim that we know so many people. I know I've told you this before, so you can chalk it up to preacher story number whatever. And it'd be all right. But you know, we like to say we got so many friends because we got so many followers, be it Twitter, Facebook, or whatever. But you know, if we were to ask some of those people who you claim to know, do they know you? They'd probably ask, "Who? Who are you talking about?" And it's very easy to claim to know Jesus Christ today, isn't it? Very easy to say, "I'm a believer." But friend, are you walking like a believer? Are you living like a believer? I'm asking you, do you truly know Jesus Christ, or is it just something that you say? We need to ask questions like this. If a person desires heaven instead of hell, do you realize that person is going to have to come by the way of the cross of Jesus Christ? It means they're going to have to repent of their sins in order to be saved. It means that heaven is not full of good people. It's full of sinners who repented and recognized their need for a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. And they've washed their sins in the blood of the Lamb, and they've been made clean, and all their sins have been put in God's barrel of forgetfulness, never to be risen again. Isn't that great news? What does it mean to repent? Simply means we have to agree with what God has said about us. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means before salvation we were all sinners, and God has determined that the wages of sin is death. If you leave this world without Christ, there is no hope for you. Death here means both physical and spiritual death. And if a man or woman dies spiritually without Christ, they'll be separated from Christ for all eternity. Thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. There's hope in Jesus. The good news is that we don't have to be separated from God, because the Bible said God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, I'm so thankful for Jesus. This was the message that Paul and Silas were preaching to the church at Thessalonica. And if you look at verse 4, the Bible tells us, and some of them believed. Now, the word some here is referring to the Jews. But I want you to note, not all of them. So we have, according to this verse, some of the Jews, a multitude of Greeks, and a few of the chief women. These are they who heard the preaching of the gospel. They repented of their sins and received salvation in Jesus Christ. I don't know how often you've camped out in this particular passage of the scriptures. But how come this verse doesn't say all of them believed? How come some of the Jews believed, but not all of the Jews believed, as verse 5 tells us? But then that same thing could be asked here and in every other place where the gospel is being preached this morning. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you can share something with somebody and you think you have said it just the way it needs to be said, only to find out when you ask them to repeat what you said, they didn't hear a word of what you said. They misunderstood it completely. That ever happened to you? We can relate. Amen. For whatever reason, they had it all out of context. How does such a thing happen? It's because by and large, today, most folks don't realize that to really communicate, each party has to be willing to listen transformationally. How well do we listen? Have you ever stopped to consider what we're bombarded with every single day? All the noise that surrounds us, radio, television, internet, newspapers, husbands, wives, children, teachers, father, mother, friends, and the list goes on and on and on. And now that we got these cell phones, we got these little bells that go ding. And just like Pavlov's dog, every time your phone goes ding, what you do is this. So-and-so said this. Isn't that true? I mean, we are trained to dings and bells and whistles, you name it. There are a whole lot of voices out there competing for our attention, amen? And yet, out of all of them, the one we need to hear from the most is the one the Holy Scriptures describe in 1 Kings 19 as a still, small voice. In order for us to hear God's voice, we're going to have to listen transformationally. Are you listening for his voice? Years ago, I believe there was this lady who came to church. She couldn't get her clock right. So every year when we turned the clocks back or ahead, she was in church right away, hour early or hour late. But she was there. This particular time, she happened to come in an hour early. And as it just would happen, my office was located in a very strategic place. Right behind the crying room, there was this wonderful window which would allow you to see out into the sanctuary. And Joyce had come in, and she had sat down in her pew, as was her habit. And I could tell that she was in deep prayer. And I don't know why, but I got up and I had my microphone and I said, Joyce? And her head came up. She went back to praying and I said, Joyce? Yes, Lord? It was I had to confess. She turned around and said, "Oh, Pastor." But are you listening for his voice? You see, the problem with the Jews who didn't believe is the same problem you and I have. We're not really listening. How often have you been having an exchange, a conversation with somebody, and they're speaking, but you're already thinking about what you're going to say? You've already got it formed in your mind, in your thought. You can't wait to let it roll off your tongue. But you're not hearing, because all you're hearing is your own thoughts, your response to what they're saying, whatever it would be. This is why I always encourage husbands and wives in the midst of a discussion. It's always wise to have a tall glass of water between you as you sit across the table from one another. That way, while the other is speaking, one of you can be drinking. That way you can be hearing, because you see, it's very hard to talk when your mouth is full of water. You know, it just kind of goes all over. But the problem here was the Jews who didn't believe was that they were not listening, pointing out to us once again that there are two types of listeners. One transitional, the other transformational. And the transitional listeners stopped listening when Paul and Silas got to the point of speaking about Christ's suffering. You see, they were cut to the quick. The only reason Christ had to suffer was because of my sins and your sins and the sins of every other soul who has ever lived upon the face of this earth. If we hadn't sinned, there would have been no need for Christ to have suffered. Transitional listeners do not like to hear this. They stop listening when they are confronted about sin. They do not like to feel conviction. And when the conviction of the word touches their heart, their ears get stopped, and they do exactly what we find they doing right here in this text. They begin to argue. And they begin to look for people who can begin to cause trouble within the church. They stir up strife. And they get angry. And that same thing goes on today, doesn't it? Transitional listeners of the gospel aren't really listening at all, because not only of that reason, but there are several other reasons. They're either busy sleeping when God is speaking, or they're busy visiting with those sitting next to them, or they've already made up their mind to what they're going to listen to, or they're plotting how they can stir up trouble, just as we see in our text here, or they think they know it all. So anything God says through the preacher really doesn't apply to them, because they already know it all. I ask you a question this morning. How many of you like a know-it-all? I don't think God likes them either, since God really does know it all. He knows them very, very well. He's well acquainted with them. He knows everything about them, just as he knows everything about you and I. And he knows that if folks were really listening, they would be both receiving and accepting of the word of God, knowing that God's word is a profiting word, a word given to help them grow in like Christ's likeness. Why come to church, friend, if you're not willing to grow in Christ's likeness? What is the point of being here if it's not all about Jesus and what Jesus desires to do in your life? Do you realize what the Scriptures say, Hebrews 4:12? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how powerful this word is. And so, family and friends, when the word of God is preached, either through daily scripture reading, the radio, the television, or social media, or from this pulpit, one thing is certain. We are either listening transitionally or we're listening transformationally. What kind of listener are you? And then again, how would God answer that? Have you ever asked God, "God, what category would you put me in?" We know what took place in the church at Thessalonica. What takes place here? Let's make it even more personal. Let's ask this question. Lord, how well do I hear?
Am I listening transitionally or transformationally? And for that matter, what does a transformational listener look like? Well, for the answer to that, all we need to do is look into the Bible, because God tells us what a transformational looks like with the people there at the Church of Berea. I want you to know that our text points to a certain fact that helps us gain some measure of understanding of what it means to be a transformational listener of the gospel. You see, the folks in Berea were nobler than the folks at Thessalonica, and what made them so? Remember whose word we're studying? It is the word of God. How many of you know this? When you get to heaven, only two things are going to be there, the souls of men and the word of God, because God's word will never pass away. Amen. So understand, this is not the mind of some man comparing one group with another. This is God speaking, God who knows the hearts and the minds of men and women just like us. And note what God says plainly, that he says the Bereans were more nobler than the folk at Thessalonica. That's God's opinion of them. And because God said this, we have to ask this question, what made them so? You know, let some pastor say, well, you know, so-and-so down that other church, they more nobler than y'all here, and we have uproar. But God says it right here, that the church of Berea was more nobler than the folks down there at Thessalonica. So because God's saying it, let's hope we can receive it this morning. What made them so? And we find our answer in verse 11. Know what God says here. They received the word with all readiness of mind, which speaks to the fact that they had prepared their minds to receive the word of God. They had spent time in prayer. They just didn't show up at church. They came prepared to hear the word of God. They received the word with all readiness of mind. And the Bible tells us that they were Bible readers because they searched the scriptures daily. And then there's something else that's very important. They searched to find out what their pastors, Paul and Silas, they wanted to know if what Paul and Silas was telling them was true. And I cannot tell you, I hope and I pray that you will never take my word for anything, but that you will always hold me accountable to the word of God, that you will know what God has said in his word, so that when you hear me preach or teach, you will know whether I'm preaching or teaching you the right thing. You want to know the reason for so many cults today? So many foolish thoughts, so much false religion? It's because people do not know what God has said in his word. Therefore, they just take anybody's word for it. You know the greatest mission of this church, besides winning souls for Christ? You need to protect the pulpit of this church to make certain that whoever stands behind the pulpit of this church always preaches and teaches you the word of God. That's a very important thing. They searched the scriptures to be certain that what they were hearing was the truth. Can I ask you a question? Do you do that? You know, my prayer for you, when I pray for each of you throughout the week, is that you're doing that. That you're searching the scriptures, that you will know what God has said, so that when I preach, speak, or teach, I'm only confirming what you already know. We live in a country for many years that has enjoyed the greatest freedom to read the Bible. We don't have to worry about somebody coming into the church, ripping us out and killing us. We don't have to worry about somebody breaking into our homes, dragging us out for persecution. But you know, all this freedom, what it's done in America, has made people lazy. We are the most illiterate, biblically, the most illiterate nation in the world today. Isn't that sad? I want to encourage you, if I can, read the scriptures. Read the Bible. Seek to know what the Bible says. It doesn't matter how long you've known Christ when it comes to this, because the Bible says we all must seek. You realize what Scripture says? It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't be like one of those transitional listeners who thinks they know but doesn't really know. That's just the attitude and the action of the religious people. And you know, Jesus had to deal with religious people, didn't he?
They thought they knew the truth, but they really didn't. All them Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, they thought they had it well down. But Jesus just plainly stood up and said this about them: not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said to them, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus says, then I'll profess to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And you know, that's one of the great fears I have as a pastor. There's a whole lot of people today who think that all you got to do is just pray to receive Jesus. After that, you can go and live any old way you want. Friend, that's not at all what the Bible says. The Bible says you must repent of your sin. The Bible says that Christ will take residence in your heart, that you will no longer be who you were. God will accept you as you are, but he's going to change you, and he's going to make you into a new creature. The Bible says this. The Bible teaches it. And so here's something you need to understand. It's not just about praying a prayer. You need to live the life. It's not word spoken. It's a life lived. It's very easy to tell anybody I love somebody, but friend, if I don't show it, we don't really love them, no matter who it is. That's one of the great problems in our nation today. We run around telling everybody we love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, but we don't do anything to show it. In order for the Holy Spirit to do his work in us, we must truly make an effort to hear when God speaks. Did you know it's possible for us to sit here this morning, for you to sit here this morning and hear every word that I speak and yet not even know what I've spoken? Never hear a word of it. Sadly, in every church, there are vacant parishioners. Their bodies are here, but they're not. They're somewhere else. This passage of Scripture helps us because it points out the difference between transitional and transformational listeners of the gospel. You know, a transitional listener is in church almost every week, but they sit in the pew, they let their minds wander, they're so busy looking at other people. Yeah, they look at how they're dressed, they look at how they're act, they may know something that's going on, so they gossip about them. They write little notes, they socialize with friends, they're dreaming about what they're going to have for lunch when the preacher's finally done speaking. They come, but they don't really hear because they don't come prepared to hear from the Lord. They just come out of habit because, you see, it's not really about Jesus. I just want to come and show up so my neighbors will think I'm something special and I can feel good about myself. That's what transitional listeners do. And I want to encourage you and challenge you not to be like them. I want to encourage you and challenge you to prepare your heart before you come to church. You know what I pray on Saturday morning? I pray, God, prepare the hearts of those who will come to worship. But then I pray, Lord, for those who are going to come tomorrow, may they spend time preparing their hearts so that they're prepared to worship. Now there's God in heaven and we know he's perfect. He never fails. So when I pray that prayer for y'all, God, prepare the hearts for those who come to worship, I have complete confidence that God's going to do his part. And I bet you'd say the same thing. But when it comes to that part in the prayer, God help them to prepare their hearts for worship, I've got to admit, sometimes I wonder. Now, I don't mean to wonder, but sometimes I wonder. I'm just being honest with you. You need to prepare. And the Bible says the church at Berea was nobler than the church at Thessalonica because they prepared their hearts to receive the word. Bereans are those who listen transformationally. Maybe we need to turn to your neighbor today and say, be like a Berean. Be like a Berean. Matter of fact, let's all say that together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Be like a Berean. Yeah, that's encouraging, isn't it? We can do better. Be like a Berean. All throughout this week, when you see somebody from church, you just greet them this way. Hey, brother, sister, are you being like a Berean? That's encouraging.
keep people accountable. There's a marked difference between a transformational listener and a transitional listener. The transformational listener walks into the sanctuary excited about what God is going to say. They have their Bible. They have their notebook. They settle in. They get their pens ready. And then some folks try to copy down every word that is spoken. They don't want to miss a single point. They're constantly praying as they write, Lord, how does what you're saying apply to my life? See, God communicates with us. And God desires to communicate to us. But when He speaks, we must be ready to listen transformationally. Jesus said this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How much truth do you think a transitional listener really hears? They're so busy doing other things that they're not really listening at all. How can we really know the truth if we don't come to church prepared to hear the truth? Are you aware that most people's lives are undone simply because they didn't listen to what God was saying when His message was being spoken? Don't be like them. Be a person who will one day stand before God. And if I was to ask this question of each and every one of you, every one of you would say, without a doubt, this is what I want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that true? When our days end, we all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. From the youngest to the oldest, if we were to ask that question, everybody would say, amen, amen, amen. Do you really think when God makes a distinction here in His Word, God says the church at Berea was more nobler than the church at Thessalonica. The church at Thessalonica had a few that believed, but by and large, most of them didn't have an ear to hear the Word of God. But that church at Berea heard the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. Simply because of one thing. They desired nothing but God. And so they prepared themselves to be transformed. And that's what it means to hear with the ear of transformation. God's word, friend, it never goes out void. You know, it's a miracle in today's world when anybody comes to church, isn't it? Can we not thank God for the grace this morning to wake us up, to get us ready, and to bring us here? But I hope we didn't get up on our own. Of course we didn't. God helped us. But I hope we don't have the attitude that I did this, and I've come, now I've put in my time, now I'm going home. I've asked this question many times before. When is the sermon over? Is it when the preacher says amen? No. The sermon for you will be over when you become a doer of what God has said. We know what Scripture says. Be a doer of the word. Transformational listener. You're not a hearer only. Transitional listener. Deceiving your own self. We're living in a world of deception today, aren't we? And many people will sit in church just like ours. And they'll get up and they'll go home and do nothing with the message that God gave. Simply because they're a hearer only. They're not a doer. And they leave church filled with more deception than when they came. Don't be like that. I want to encourage you with all that I am. You be a Berean. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word unto us today. And Lord, we thank you for the power of it. We thank you for the grace of it.
Lord, we know that your word never goes out void, that wherever it is spoken, you have a purpose for it. And that is to change the hearts of saved men and women, and to change the hearts of lost men and women, that they might become saved. Lord, you change the hearts of saved men and women, that they might grow closer to you. As the Scripture says, we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory, both now and forever. Lord, we pray that's taken place here this morning. We pray that your word has gone out to the lost soul. Just like last week, Lord, we're expecting to see another soul come into the kingdom of God. Lord, we're expecting saved men and women to have allowed your word to point out the areas where they're falling short, that they might repent of those things, that they might seek your strength and your grace and your mercy to overcome the hurdles and the burdens that face all of us in life. Lord God, we ask most of all that we have heard your word, that we could do your will, that we be not like those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and others who think they're doing your will, but one day will stand before you and you'll say to them, "Away from me, I never knew you." Oh Lord, may we determine in our heart that that would never be said of us. May we seek to know you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. And Lord, we know that you're calling men and women to join this church as well this morning. So Lord, whatever your will, whatever you're speaking into the hearts of men and women this morning, as Marty comes to lead us here in just a moment, we pray, Father, that people would respond, and that people would come, and that people would say no to self and yes to Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Marty.
Let's stand, please, number 301, I Am Resolved. I am resolved.
Finishing up the series on Elijah, we're going to be talking about waiting for the whirlwind, and I hope that you will be here. I hope you followed those messages while we were off and were able to watch online, but I certainly hope you'll be able to be a part of us tonight. And Brother Trey, would you close us in a word of prayer?